This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Welcome back to the Relic Radio Show. On our hour this week, we'll begin with the Zero Hour. Their story from May 3rd, 1974, titled The Price of Admission. After that, it's Escape and the Red Mark. Their story from February 21st, 1950.
I'm Rod Serling. You're listening to the Zero Hour. Rest your eyes. Exercise your imagination. Today, Kim Weisskopf's audio glimpse of mayhem on the midway. The Price of Admission. Starring Mel Torme. In a Mutual Broadcasting System presentation of The Zero Hour.
Brought to you by the makers of General Motors Parts, by the State Farm Insurance Company, by Dial Soap, and by the makers of Contact on Mutual Radio.
Your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love.
To your love.
But give your allergy to Contact.
Allergy is our business, too. We know pollen. And we know that any of the 12,000 quarts of air you breathe each day may contain enough pollen to make your eyes itch, make you sneeze, and drip. We also know an ingredient that helps block pollen's bad effects. It's the antihistamine most prescribed by allergy specialists. It's an ingredient in Contact.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love.
To your love.
The tiny time pills in one Contact keep this antihistamine working up to 12 full hours, all day, all night.
Give your allergy to Contact.
Take Contact only when needed, only as directed.
Today, the story of a search, and as so often happens when one goes looking for something, you find something else. Feature writer Kirby West is about to find the unexpected. For Kirby West, the price of admission is much more than he bargained for. Picture this. Hot mid-morning in Palm Springs, California. Behind drawn shades, a darkened motel room.
Hello.
Kirby, it's Lou. Sorry if I woke you, but we've got a problem.
Oh, what time is it? Oh, come on, Lou. It's 9 a.m. I'm on my vacation, remember?
I wouldn't have called unless it was an emergency. We need that carnival story for next week's issue.
I thought you sent the kid to cover it.
I did. That's the problem. Evans has disappeared. Nobody's heard from him since Tuesday. My editor's sense tells me he's in trouble.
Maybe he's stuck on the Ferris wheel, huh?
Look, Kirby, why don't you take a leisurely trip to Indio and see if you can find him? Now, it's not far from Palm Springs. Get back to me as soon as you have something. Oh, and Kirby, don't you disappear.
Not a chance, Lou. Goodbye. All right, come on, honey Ann, rise and shine.
Oh, close the shades. It's too early to get up. Let's spend the whole day in bed.
How about if we take in the carnival and spend the whole night in bed?
The carnival?
Yeah, you know, the merry-go-round, cotton candy, that whole...
What are you talking about?
But just get dressed, I'll explain on the way.
Oh, riders. Look at all the people.
Step right this way, folks. 3 rings for a quarter. Win a teddy for the little lady, mister.
No, thanks.
Kirby? Kirby West?
Barney! Barney, what are you doing here?
Working for a living. What's it look like? Hey, is this the wife?
Yeah. Oh.
Same old Kirby.
Barney Best, meet Honey Ann Flowers.
Yeah, pleased to meet you.
How do you do, Mr. Best?
Mr. Best? Say, Kirby, she's got class. You got class.
Hey, Barney, maybe you can help me out, huh? Looking for a friend of mine. Maybe you've seen him around. A kid about 25, tall, brown hair, got a skin condition.
That's asking a lot. Take a look around. Every kid in the place fits that description.
Well, he always wears a bow tie. Thinks it makes him look older.
Yeah. I seen him yesterday.
Huh?
No, day before. He played the rings, as a matter of fact. Ask a lot of questions. Did you say he was a friend of yours?
What kind of questions?
Hey, Kirby, it's me, Barney.
That's why I'm asking.
You're not a cop, are you?
Kirby's a writer for Byline Magazine.
No kidding.
But it won't be for long if I don't find this kid Evans.
Yeah, well, look, your friend wanted to know about the setup. I mean, you know, how it works. We blow into town for a few days, people lose a few bucks, have a good time, go home and forget about it, right? No big swindle.
What else?
Nothing. Ah, you give me this card. Told me to get in touch if I had anything else to tell him.
Oh, did you?
No.
Seven Palms Motel, Cabin 6. Can I keep this?
Go ahead. I got no use for it.
Oh, look, you mind if I just ask you one more question?
Hey, buddy, this is the place. Yeah, right here. Had 5 winners this morning already. Yeah, you chump.
Barney, who runs this show?
Will you leave if I tell you?
Just send me on my way.
Guy by the name of Rowan owns the outfit.
But what?
Yeah, throw these rings, will you? I never seen Rowan. He keeps out of it. Fred and Pinky do the hiring and firing.
Pinky?
Well, look, where can I find him?
Over by the funhouse ride. They got all the concessions around here.
Thanks, Barney.
Hey, honey, your friend Barney, he seemed a little nervous.
Didn't he,
Come in, mister. I see you're a winner already. This game's a cinch.
All right, I'll go one time, Pinky.
What? You talking to me? I'm Fred. Too bad, mister. Try again?
Sure.
Oh, Kirby, you won!
Pick a prize, anything on the bottom row.
Oh, get the Cupid doll. I've always wanted one.
One Cupid for Missy.
No, wait. Do you have anything in a bow tie?
What are you, a wise guy?
All right, never mind. We'll take the Cupid. Thanks. Let's go, Honey Ann.
Well, where are we going?
We're going to see about getting a room.
Pinky. Hey, Pinky, come over here.
What's the take so far?
Never mind that. There's a guy been snooping around.
What guy?
That one. The one with the blonde. See him?
Yeah.
Ask me if we gave away bow ties.
Yeah?
Gotta take care of it right away.
Aren't you glad?
Glad is what happens when you use Dial soap.
Aren't you glad?
It starts right out with a clean, fresh scent that's like nothing else.
Aren't you glad?
To get you going, clean and fresh.
Aren't you glad? 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 Just to be. Aren't you glad?
Dial washes away the cause of odor on your skin. You just can't buy a better deodorant soap than Dial. And that's saying something.
Here's a tip from your Better Business Bureau. You know, there's no such thing as instant shade from a tree you buy through the mail. It takes a large truck and a crane to move a tree big enough to provide immediate shade. But that doesn't mean that mail order trees are bad. In fact, if you're planning for the future and have a few years to wait, buying young trees through the mail may be a good idea. But before you buy, compare the tree offered in an ad with one you could buy locally. Find out just how big the tree actually is and how fast it will really grow and if it will thrive in your soil and climate. Compare the cost of ordering through the mail with buying locally. And remember, your best assurance of satisfaction, whether you buy shade trees by mail or locally, is to deal with companies who have established reputations for satisfactory dealings. As always, buy what you want, but know what you're buying. Don't look for shade under a tree that's shorter than you are. A consumer tip from your Better Business Bureau.
Well, he's not here.
I didn't expect he would be.
What are you doing?
Evans was here, I'm certain of that.
Well, how do you know?
For two reasons, Barney's card and that greasy desk clerk. A page was torn out of the register. I'd say somebody helped Evans pack.
It's kind of a cute room, though, don't you think? Nice and clean.
Yeah, it's too clean. I'm going to go take a look at the bathroom.
Oh, the bed's so soft and roomy. Kirby, are we going to stay here for a while?
No. Come on, baby, put your shoes on. We're going.
Let's go back to Palm Springs and lay around the swimming pool.
Not just yet.
I'll sew your button back on. I've got a needle and thread back at the room.
Wait a minute, what button?
Well, this one. Must have fallen off your shirt when you looked under the bed.
Honey Ann, you're a doll. This isn't my button. It's not a button at all.
Well, what is it then?
It's the top of a plunger off a syringe. I think I know why Evans checked out early. Honey, we gotta find that kid and fast.
But where we look?
And I got a hunch. We're going back to the carnival.
No, you're not.
Kirby, he's got a gun.
Yeah, I can see that.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith, isn't it? You just got here. Why not stay a while?
Why not?
If you both just sit on the bed there, we'll spend the afternoon together. Just the three of us.
Look, would you stop waving that thing around, huh? I hate guns. They're liable to go off.
Up against the wall, friend. Our guests aren't allowed to have weapons.
I never carry one. A guy could get hurt that way.
Please shut up and do like I tell you.
Come on. Will you cut that out? I'm ticklish. Cut it out. There, you see what I mean?
Please, don't shoot. I'm not part of it, really.
Keep talking.
It was that dame from the carnival made me do it. Her and that ape. They told me they'd be gone by tonight.
Well, that doesn't leave us much time. Where did they take the kid who was here?
Back to the carnival, I guess. I don't know, honest. Please don't kill me.
Kill you? Are you kidding? I told you I hate guns. They're so loud.
Oh, thank you.
Another time.
Do we take him with us?
No, I just get in the way.
What are you going to do to me?
Well, I could pistol whip you, but that's cruel. How about this?
Oh!
Okay, we'll put him in the closet.
Won't he wake up?
I certainly hope so. He'll be so happy to be alive, he won't bother us.
You think so?
Not really, baby. Come on, let's get out of here.
My, it looks like Barney closed up his booth.
Sure does. It's too bad. I wanted to talk to him. Honey, how'd you like another Cupid doll? It looks like everybody's out to lunch. Well, if they're moving out tonight, I suppose I gotta pack up.
Everything else is open.
You notice that too, huh? There's a great article here somewhere. If I could just figure out where, I think we might find Evans too.
Late, Kirby. I'm cold. Oh, come on, let's go on to the funhouse ride. At least it's indoors.
All right. Here's the end of the line. Looks like you come out through those doors.
Aren't those cute little cars? Let's get in a red one. I wonder if it's scary inside. You'll hold on to me, won't you, Kirby? Oh, honey, we're next.
Wait. What is it? I just saw something that's wrong.
Come on, we got a red one.
That's it. Slide over.
Oh, baby, hold on too late.
jump. Hold on to my hand. Here we go. Are you all right?
Yes, but why?
The carts, the carts. Look, when we were in line, I saw a kid with a beanie wearing a knapsack. He got into a red cart. Now, just before we got on, he came out in a blue one, so he must have jumped out like we did.
But why?
I want to take a good close look in that knapsack of his.
You're talking crazy.
Well, I will see.
How? It's so dark in here. Kirby, wait.
Must be along this wall somewhere.
Oh, Kirby, please, let's just go.
I was right, baby. This panel slides.
Where are we?
I don't know for sure, but... Whoops.
Hey, mister. How about a nice bow tie?
They just don't realize how little a renter's policy costs and how much it will do for them.
State Farm agent Ed Axel of Fairmont, Minnesota.
And it's hard for people to realize just how much personal property they do have. They forget about the drawers full of different things. So we tell them how they can protect the property that they already have. If they do have a fire or a theft, we will be there to take care of them so that you don't have to start over again. They're just shocked to find out that the rates are so low and the amount of coverage that we can give them for that low rate.
State Farm Fire and Casualty offers renter's insurance that can protect just about all your personal property for very little cost. A good reason to see your nearby State Farm agent now.
And like a good neighbor, State Farm is
there. The Marines are looking for a few good men to become Marine officers. A few good college men to accept the challenge of leadership. Men who will command Marine ground troops. Men who will fly Marine aircraft. And a few good men to serve as lawyers in the Marine Corps. The program is Platoon Leaders Class. PLC. No campus training. Ground and air options. Available financial assistance. Even free civilian flying lessons for qualified men. Talk to the Marine officer who visits your campus. Ask about PLC ground, PLC air, or PLC law. The Marines are looking for a few good men who want to lead other men as officers in the United States Marine Corps.
The door, Pinky, and lock it. We've been expecting you.
Yeah.
Go get the stuff, Pinky. Rowan will be here any minute. Ever used stuff before, mister?
All right, where's Evans?
He's around. Got a real habit, that kid. Tracks all up and down his arms.
Why, you...
Hold it right there.
Oh, great, more guns.
Don't make me use this one.
What are you going to do to us?
Missy? You're going on a roller coaster ride. Way up, and then way down. Hurry it up in there, Pinky!
Yeah.
It's a clever operation you got going here, Fred. Playing small towns for the penny anti-suckers and supplying hard drugs to dealers all along the line. This is some funhouse.
Hard drugs? You mean heroin?
Don't sound so surprised, Missy. You look like you got a few miles on you.
Just what do you mean by that?
Easy now. I don't like blondes.
Kirby?
Got the two needles ready.
How about the kid?
He's sleeping like a baby.
Tie off Wise Guy's arm here, Pinky. Who is it?
Ron.
Pinky, unbolt the door.
Barney.
Sorry it had to end like this, old buddy.
You're Rowan?
Have been ever since my Navy discharge. Business reasons, you understand? You calling me Barney Best this morning caught me by surprise. I wish it hadn't been you, believe me.
But I don't get why. I mean, why get involved in something like this?
Simple. Money.
Oh, look, there are so many other ways, better ways.
For a guy like you, maybe.
God, don't give me that, Barney. Come on, I've had other jobs, miserable jobs with lousy pay.
Same here. I hung around San Diego for 10 years before this came along. And I tell you, life on the road stinks. This life stinks.
Well, why not change?
Ah, it's too late for that now. I know what I am. A couple more years and I can retire to a Mexican villa.
Yeah, if you live a couple of more years.
Let me worry about that.
Hurry up, boss. We gotta move.
All right. Finish what you started. What was that?
Pinky, you told me the kid was out.
Barney, don't. Now, look, we can get out of this jam, just like old times.
No, Kirby, the old times are gone. Long gone.
Shoot him up, Pinky. Use all of it.
That'll kill him.
Pinky, give me a hand in here.
I'll fix him when I get back.
Hurry it up.
Fred.
Move that hand and I'll blow it off.
Sorry about your friend, too, but it's his own fault.
How do you figure, Barney?
He played to win, and nobody wins at carnivals. Nobody.
You might think about that yourself.
Get it over with. I'll get the rest of the stuff.
Wait a minute, Barney. Aren't you going to stay and watch? Ever seen an overdose? It's quite a show. Could add a whole new dimension to the funhouse.
Don't preach at me. Nobody ever OD's who doesn't want to. Some punk wants to kill himself, let him.
I can't believe you mean that.
What difference does it make?
At this point, I don't know.
Pinky!
Yeah?
Do it! Say goodbye, Missy.
Kirby, no!
Barney!
It's open.
Hey, Kirby, my boy. Great story. A little long, but I can cut it.
Oh, you're not alone.
Howdy, Ann. Meet Lou. He's the man who wrecked our vacation.
How do you do?
It's a pleasure. Kirby, tell me, where did you get the background information on Rowan?
I'll just chalk it up to old times.
Huh?
And forget it. How's Evans?
I just talked to the hospital where he's being detoxified. The kid's going to be fine.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear somebody survived.
The man and woman are going to pull through, too. Rowan was the one the narco boys were after. Mm. You know, what I can't figure is why that crooked motel clerk called the cops.
Life's just full of surprises, Lou.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
No, we better be going. I've still got 4 days vacation coming.
Take a whole week. You deserve it.
Bye. Nice meeting you.
Bye-bye, Lou.
Say, Kirby, hold on. Where can I reach you with...
You're probably well aware of the advantages of a well-tuned car in helping you obtain better gas mileage. A well-tuned car can run more efficiently, more economically. If all cars were properly tuned and operating efficiently, we could save millions of gallons of gas. To help you evaluate your car's efficiency, your participating GM dealer has two new energy checks available. One is an economy checkup that includes an engine diagnosis along with several other inspections to see if your car is up to specs. The other is an economy tune-up to help give you a smooth-running engine that performs efficiently. Making the most out of the gasoline around is one of our country's basic challenges. It's important to you and to us at General Motors. That's why we're inviting everyone to come in now for a GM energy check at a Chevrolet, Pontiac, Oldsmobile, Buick, or Cadillac dealer. Get together with him and get more of a run for your money.
I'm Rod Serling. Close your eyes. Exercise your imagination. And join us again on our next presentation of The Zero Hour.
Price of Admission is an original radio drama by Kim Weisskopf. Mel Torme was heard as Kirby West. Featured in the cast were Diane Hale, Sam Edwards, Bill Keen, Peggy Weber, and Luke Rubin. Zero Hour. Created by J.M. Pulis, directed by Don Hills, is produced in Hollywood for Mutual Broadcasting System. Radio Productions Incorporated. Music composed and conducted by Stanley D. Hoffman. Michelle Sherman, Associate Producer. This has been a presentation of the Mutual Broadcasting System.
Tired of the everyday routine? Ever dream of a life of romantic adventure? Want to get away from it all?
We offer you Escape! Escape, designed to free you from the four walls of today for a half hour of high adventure.
Tonight, we escape to the prison island of New Caledonia and to the murderous conflict between one of the prisoners and the monstrous Monsieur Deneux, official executioner, as John Russell tells it in his terrifying story, The Red Mark. We breathe in, breathe out, inhale and exhale, and we are therefore considered officially as living. Privately, however, and always with a snarl deep in our throats, we call ourselves the living dead. We sleep without resting, wake without desire, eat without pleasure, and work without hope. Some of us work in the mines, some in the copra sheds. I myself am a barber, but all of us wear the same straw sandals and the same rough canvas jackets. And we are never allowed to forget that this is the penal colony of New Caledonia, that we are convicts, and that France is on the other side of the world.
Hello, Dumas.
What? I'll be sure. You startled me. I didn't hear you come in.
You were daydreaming.
Ah, you know how it is.
I know how it is for you. But, Dumas, for me, the dreams are at an end. My life as a convict is at an end.
You have your ticket home?
Of course I have my ticket. I've only 8 more days to go.
Ah, 8 days.
3 weeks on the ship, and then France. Freedom, wine, music, the theater.
Shut up!
Oh, sorry, Dumas.
You are my friend, my very good friend, but don't talk to me about France.
I'm really sorry.
You're leaving in 8 days, but I will be here for 13 more years.
I know.
I assume you wish to be shaved.
If you'd be so kind.
Be seated.
Uh-oh. Dumas, look.
What?
Out the window there, coming across the compound.
Ah, yes. Monsieur Deneux and his ugly little assistant bomb beast. The vultures.
It's no matter for concern. If one has a prison, one must have an executioner. Careful with that soap.
Monsieur Deneux is neither flesh nor fowl, neither a convict or an official master of the guillotine. He's a dog, a pig.
But such easy work if one has a strong stomach. For merely pulling the cord on the guillotine only 3 or 4 times a year, he's permitted a house of his own, even a wife.
He's a corpse who should be buried with a stake through his heart. I hate him.
Oh, ignore him. He's nothing, an old bag of bones.
He's the devil himself.
Devil, huh? Dumas, if he were the devil, he would not be the stupid fool that he is. Ignore him, I tell you. I do.
Ignore him, huh? It can't be done.
Careful with that razor.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Are you trying to become an executioner yourself?
Bichot, there's something you know about Monsieur Deneau. Tell me what it is.
Look, Dumas, you will say nothing until next week, until I've sailed?
Nothing, I swear it.
All right, I trust you. You know his wife, of course.
You mean that little girl?
Yes, from the fishing village down the coast. Zelie, her name is.
Well, what about her?
Do you not agree that she's beautiful?
That marriage is a sacrilege.
True. But you can't blame her. Monsieur Deneux bought her from her family.
It's disgusting.
Of course. But is she not beautiful?
I don't pretend to be a judge of these things.
You know she is.
Well, what about her?
You ask, do I have my tickets to France? Yes. Yes, but not just one. More than that, I have 2 tickets.
2?
Zelie is going with me.
Oh, be sure you're out of your mind.
No. But I would be if I left here without her.
But can you not imagine what that man will do to you?
He will do nothing because he knows nothing. He's a stupid fool.
Oh, but my friend, you're young and you've forgotten. France, Paris, the world outside is full of beautiful women. It's foolish to run this risk for Zelie when there will be others waiting
but
for you.
But Dumas, I love her.
You love her?
And she loves me. I'll try to make her happy, make her forget. She's never been happy, Dumas. And she's a girl who ought to be very, very happy all the time. Now, if your hand is steady again, get on with my shave, will you?
I saw that my little friend Bigot was in dead earnest. Right or wrong, foolish as he might be, he meant every word he'd said. And suddenly, I realized how much alike they were, he and Zelie, the child bride of the executioner. They were both small and slim, with lively eyes and mouths that were quick with laughter. Why, they even looked alike. Across the compound, Donu was talking with his jackal of a servant as they promenaded. A gaunt, black-garbed monster. He was the only convict among us who never wore the shapeless gray canvas clothes. I glanced at the two of them now and then as I went on shaving Bijot, wondering what they talked about. What they dared to talk about in the bright, clean light of the sun. That hideous pair of devils.
Master.
What is it, Bombice?
The little one who smiles too often, Bijot.
What about him?
In the barber's there. He's being shaved.
Do you assume the fact to be of some interest to me?
I only mentioned it.
Hardly necessary. I was already aware the Bijot was there in the barber's hut being shaved.
I'm sorry, Master.
In fact, I am aware of several things that stupid little Bijot thinks are secrets. Being shaved, is he? We have a blade that could give him a closer shave. Bombice?
Oh, yes, Master. So close that he would never need another one.
An interesting idea. Very interesting. I think Bijot has made rather a serious error in not realizing my cleverness. A mistake that may very well prove fatal. Zelie.
Who is it?
Your husband, my little one. Your old, old husband. You were expecting someone else, perhaps.
No, of course not. But you're home early.
Did I surprise you?
Well,
I enjoy surprising you, my dear. Do you mind?
No. But dinner won't be ready for another hour yet. Huh? I'll start it at once.
An hour? What is an hour when we have a lifetime together? Zelie?
Yes, sir.
Even though I'm an old man, old enough to be your... your father, You do not answer me.
I don't consider you old, sir.
Thank you. Then we will have many more years together. No?
But of course, sir.
And we must make good use of those years. We must do things, eh?
Anything you wish.
Then why not begin with a small trip up the coast? I can easily get permission.
Whatever you say.
Good. Then we shall leave the first of next week.
Next week?
Yes, my dear. Why not?
But next week, 8 days from now, the boat stops here.
Really? I had forgotten about it. But what could that possibly have to do with us?
Well, letters. There may be letters for you from France. And your papers. You know how you love your papers.
Ah, you were so considerate of my welfare, Zelie.
I try to be, sir.
You must love me very much. I said, you must love me very much.
Oh, of course.
Say it.
What?
Say that you love me very much.
I love you very much, sir.
Pretty. But so unfortunate, you must always address me as sir. It's much too formal.
It means nothing. It's only a habit.
We must do something about that habit. I'm going out while you prepare dinner, Zelie. I must see Bombice about a little matter.
You'll be back soon?
But of course. How could I bear to be away from you? Not to see you or touch you for even one single night. Goodbye, Zelie. Bombice?
Yes? Yes, Master.
Bombice, are you aware that we have not worked in some time?
True, not for a long time.
Too long, Bombice?
Oh, yes, Master, much too long.
Bombice, in view of that treaty between the government and the jungle tribes, the prison officials might be very displeased if a native should be murdered.
But of course, the officials are leaning over backward to avoid trouble.
And what do you think would happen to a man who murdered a native?
Chunk. surgery?
Precisely.
Has somebody killed a Canuck?
No, at least not yet.
Not yet?
Van Beest, do you happen to know where our little friend sleeps at night?
Huh?
The handsome Bijo?
I think it is in barrack number 12.
Could you find his bed in the dark?
Yes, master, but if it is a matter of slipping a knife between his ribs, there are much better places than the barracks. Why not in the jungle, where it may seem that a native...
Please, Van Beest.
Oh, I'm sorry, master.
You are not going to slip a knife between Bijot's ribs. In fact, my little Van Beest, quite the contrary.
Quiet.
It's Bijot. Bijot? What do you want? Why are you awake?
Dumas, something has happened. I'm not sure what it is.
Oh. What do you mean?
I awoke a moment ago. Some sound, I think. Dumas, I have something here to show you.
What is it, Bijot?
Wait. Let me strike a match. Look.
He was holding a convict's jacket in his hands, made of gray cotton canvas. The number on the pocket was 2232, Bijot's own number. And the whole front of the jacket was splattered with bright red blood. In just a moment, we will return with the second act of Escape. But first... Most people like to know what to expect, but on at least one CBS show, a great part of the fun is in what turns up on the spur of the moment. That show is Groucho Marx's Great Quiz, You Bet Your Life, heard every Wednesday night on most of these same CBS stations. Now we return you to the second act of Escape. The brief time before the match flared and went out seemed like minutes. I grabbed Bijot by the arm and lay still listening in the darkness, straining to hear whether anyone else may have been awakened. There was no sound. The other men slept on.
Here, to my sandals. Feel them, they're wet.
Yes.
They've been worn outside somewhere within the last hour. And to my knife has blood on it, too.
Bijot, tell me quickly, where have you... Ben, what have you done?
Nothing. I've been asleep.
You've not been out of the barrack?
No, I swear it. Dumas, what is this? What does it mean?
Bijot, I think it means that someone is more clever than you. Wait.
What is it?
The prison dogs. Listen.
Yes. They're coming this way. Dumas, are they after me?
Who else?
But what am I going to do?
Well, first we must dispose of these bloody clothes. In the jungle, I think.
We... You're going to help me?
Well, of course, my friend. Come, I have a plan. Quietly now, Bijot. And quickly. We threaded our way among the sleeping convicts to the rear of the barracks. Near the back door, I saw a pair of old worn rope sandals. I grabbed them and took them with me. And then we raced across the hard-beaten earth of the compound, cursing the bright moon overhead, and plunged into the black thicket of liana and mangrove and fern, into the jungle. For half an hour or more, we smashed our way through the soggy tangle of undergrowth, crashing into trees, tripping into vines and roots, and sprawling full length on the swampy loam. But always we staggered to our feet again and ran on and on and on.
Jumai, where is... Where's that stream?
We must be very close now. I saw it here somewhere last spring.
But this is not last spring.
Well, streams do not move about. Keep on.
We'll never find it in this darkness.
There will be a path of moonlight. The trees are open above the stream. No, Bijot, go on.
But Dumas...
It's no time to stop now.
Wait. Listen. I think the dogs are closer.
No, but they soon will be. Come on.
Dumas, we must find that stream.
And then minutes later, we did find it. Dead tired and dripping with sweat from the steaming heat of the tropic night, we stumbled over a low hummock and saw the blazing white path of moonlight ahead of us, almost at our feet. We slid down the shallow bank, dropped to our knees, and then all our
brave hopes died out of us.
Dumai. Dumai, the stream is dry.
Be sure I tell you, last spring it was a torrent. It filled these banks so high, higher than my head.
It's dry. Let it trickle. Listen, they're coming closer. Run, Dumai. Run while you still can.
No. Look, I brought another pair of sandals from the barrack. Here, put them on. The dogs will not have the scent of this pair. Quickly now.
You put on those sandals. Then circle back to the barrack. They'll never know you left. I can run no farther. I'll wait for them here.
Be sure I cannot leave you here to...
Don't be a fool. Put on those sandals. Hurry now before it's too late. And later there's something I'd like for you to do for me. Here. The tickets to France. Give them to Zilly. Help her get away from him.
If only there was some way to kill him.
That would mean nothing. Tell her to go to the André Marins in Lyon. They will take care of her. Go now.
All right. Is there nothing else?
No.
Then goodbye, Bichot.
Goodbye, my friend. Tell her I love her very much.
Being a convict, I was, of course, not permitted to attend the trial of my friend Bijot for the murder of a native. There were two convicts present, however, two star witnesses who palmed the Bible reverently and swore to having seen Bijot commit the murder. Two demons from hell, Monsieur Deneau and Bombiste. The trial was over in less than 2 hours. The verdict was not surprising. The sentence, inevitable.
Convict Bijot, you will rise and face the council. Have you anything more to say in your defense?
Nothing I haven't said before. I'm innocent. I've killed no one.
Then this council of the penal colony of New Caledonia, sitting as a special court of the Republic of France, finds you guilty as charged. As commandant of this prison, I order you to be taken to the compound of the camp at daybreak of the second morning following, and there in the presence of your fellow convicts, to be guillotined.
The night before the execution, I stood outside Bijot's cell, rolled cigarettes and handed them to him through the barred window. The guard dozed somewhere on the other side of the hut. After all, my friend was to die in the morning. No one could escape from this place, and there was no reason for caution.
Tell me, Dumai. Silly, how did she take it? Is she all right?
I could only see her for a moment. It was dangerous. I gave her the tickets, but she says she will not leave you.
It's I who will be leaving in the morning at daybreak. Does she expect a miracle?
Probably. Because she is in love with you. She's very upset, of course, nearly out of her mind.
Poor little Sally. I hope it goes well with her in France.
Bijot, is there nothing at all I can do for you?
Nothing. The Republic has been very thoughtful in all the details. Even a bottle of red wine with my last meal. Oh, the vintage was atrocious.
Bijot.
And look, they've even left me the black hood which I wear to the guillotine. I suppose I'm to make sure of the size or get used to wearing it or something.
My friend, would you like for me to send for the priest?
He was here, but I sent him away. I thought he would need a good night's sleep since he's supposed to accompany me in my ordeal. Oh, not, of course, to the extent of getting his head cut off, you understand.
But Bijot, how can you make jokes about a thing like this?
My friend, how can I do anything else? The game is over. Should I pound my head on the wall and scream like a madman?
Shh. Quiet. Someone is coming.
Bijot, are you there?
It is Zélie.
What?
Zélie! Over here.
Who is it?
Dumai. Come. Here by the wall.
Monsieur Dumai, we must not waste time.
Zélie, go away from here quickly before they find you.
Be quiet, dear. Here, the key to his cell. Let him out. The guard's asleep.
Where did you get this?
From my husband, after he went to sleep. Hurry, please.
But it will help nothing, only cause trouble for you.
There is no time to argue. Hurry.
I took the key and slipped around to the entrance of the hut. The fat guard dozed in a chair with his hands folded on his paunch. I moved past him, tiptoed to the door of Bijot's cell, fitted the key in the lock. I held my breath, but nothing stirred. Bigot came out of the cell without a word. We slipped past the guard and met Zelie by the wall of the hut. The three of us skirted the moonlit compound with the grim black shadow of the guillotine in the center of it. And without raising any alarm, we finally reached the edge of the jungle. Zelie clung with a desperate grip to Bigot's hand and wept sometimes. But gradually it became clear to all of us that there was no answer, no escape. Bigot might swim to the ship lying in the harbor, but with a prisoner at large, it was sure to be searched before it sailed. The coast in either direction was too well guarded, and that left only the jungle and the hills beyond. Hills swarming with savages who were quite aware that the head of an escaped convict delivered to the commandant was good for a bolt of bright red calico. But in our despair, the jungle seemed to offer at least some forlorn hope. And so it was decided. Bigot would try to reach the western side of the island, and from there, Australia, while Zelie would sail on the ship when it left in the morning and wait for word in Lyon. One thing was fortunate. She had brought the clothes Bigot had planned to wear to France. We could leave his convict garb in his cell and stop any trail. This time there would be no dogs. 3 hours before dawn, after a long kiss for Zelie and a hand grip for me, Bigot turned and struck into the jungle. And Zelie broke into tears.
He has no chance. The natives are bound to find him and kill him, Monsieur Dumas. You know he has no chance.
Oh, he's very clever, Zelie, and brave. Of course there's a chance.
I think he knows they'll kill him. I think he's only being kind to me.
You're only speaking foolishness. You must be brave, too, you know.
Brave? I could do anything for Bigot, except lose him.
Well, you're likely to do that if we stay here any longer. It's too near dawn now, and we have to take those clothes back to the cell. You must go home and be ready to slip aboard the boat.
Only a few days ago, I was so happy. For the very first time in my life, monsieur, we were going away on that boat, little Bigot and I. And now, monsieur, do you mind? I cannot go on living without him. I cannot bear to live without him.
As was the custom in those days, we knelt bareheaded, over 400 of us, on the hard-packed dirt of the compound facing the guillotine. The morning sun burst suddenly over the eastern rim of the sea, its blood-red color fitting for the business at hand. The commandant of the prison stood only a few yards from me, and just beyond him, fussing over their hideous machine, those two vultures of evil, Monsieur Deneau and Bombiste. The stage was set. The audience was ready. And only I knew that the star actor would not make an appearance.
Is everything in readiness, Monsieur Deneau?
Quite in readiness, Monsieur le Commandant.
Very well. Bring out the prisoner.
I looked toward the cell hut and waited, keeping my face as blank as all those around me. And then a priest and a guard stepped out of the hut and came toward us, and walking between them, wearing the gray convict's uniform and the black hood of the condemned, was my little friend Bigot. One moment of shock, and then I suddenly understood his apparent agreement with our plans a few hours earlier. He had reasoned that by this time Zelie should be aboard the ship that had waited only for the tide to sail. She would not know of the execution for months, a year or more, perhaps. And by then she would be settled safely in France. And so Bigot had come back to face his death.
Bombiste, place the condemned prisoner on the rack.
Yes, master.
Of all of us in the compound that morning, the man who was to die seemed the least afraid and the least concerned of any. Though the hideous black hood covered his face and head to the shoulders, no hood nor prison clothes could hide the almost jaunty swagger of his walk. That swagger spoke a reproof to the justice of the prison court, sneered at the blood-stained evil soul of Deneau, and gave courage and hope to us who knelt on the ground.
I am ready to proceed, Monsieur le Commandant. Is it your order that this prisoner be executed?
It is. Proceed, Monsieur Deneau.
Bombiste, raise the knife. I think to the very top.
To the top, master.
The eyes of all of us, officials and convicts alike, followed the heavy blade moving slowly up the guides. Fascinated, some of us snarled or cursed. Some of us trembled. But only Monsieur Dunou smiled to himself. So intent was my gaze that I hardly noticed the native who pushed past me carrying a leaf-wrapped bundle and walked up to the commandant.
Here, what is this? What are you doing here?
We bring him one fella head. All I say me, you give him one piece calico.
We've had no escape here. Long time, fella here, no chop-chop bush.
All I say me, bring him one fella head. You look.
Monsieur Dunou, holding the release cord of the guillotine in his hand, smiling still, had not noticed. The native fumbled with his package and suddenly out rolled a human head. One that was impossible to mistake.
You! But this is the head of the convict, Bijot.
Then who in the name of heaven was the prisoner on the rack?
Monsieur Dunou, stop! No, stop! Monsieur, that was not Bijot. Here is his head.
Not,
look!
Not Bijot.
Who is it you have killed? Pull off the hood and see.
No. No, I'm afraid.
Monsieur Dunou, remove that hood.
And then, suddenly, I knew. It was not necessary for me to see who Monsieur Dunou had executed. Little Zelie had taken the place of Bijot on the guillotine, and now had joined him in death.
Escape is produced and directed by William N. Robeson. Tonight we have presented The Red Mark by John Russell, freely adapted for radio by Les Crutchfield and Manny Grotnick. Featured in the cast were Bill Conrad as Dumais, Harry Bartell as Bijot, Will Gere as Monsieur Dunou, Barbara Whiting as Zelie, Junius Matthews as Bombeast, and Paul Fries as the Commandant. Special music was arranged and conducted by Del Castillo. Next week.
You are in command of an English destroyer sailing to join the North Sea Patrol in October 1914. It is midnight, and from the coast of Flanders comes a desperate signal for help, which you want to ignore, but which destiny forces you to answer and to become the man who won the war.
Next week, we escape with one of the most famous stories of the First World War, Robert Buckner's classic and unforgettable tale, The Man Who Won the War. Goodbye then, until this same time next week, when once again we offer you Escape. Bing Crosby's got a wonderful lineup of guests on his CBS show this Wednesday. Tomorrow night on most of these same CBS stations, it'll be the Firehouse Five, plus two, plus three Andrews sisters, plus Derbingle himself. Be listening, won't you? Now stay tuned for the latest adventures of Philip Marlowe, which follow immediately over most of these same stations. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That's going to do it for the Relic Radio Show this week. Find more from The Zero Hour, Escape, thousands of other old-time radio shows, all the other Relic Radio podcasts, our Shoutcast stream, and our donate button, all at relicradio.com. Your support helps keep this show coming every week. My thanks to those who have helped out. And if you'd like to donate, visit donate.relicradio.com. You'll find some downloadable sets for certain donation amounts. So any amount is always appreciated. That's going to do it for this week. I'll talk to you again next Tuesday with another episode of the Relic Radio Show.